In today's episode of CCO Club Podcast, we're going to be talking with another one of the co-founders about the differences between an entrepreneur and a hobbypreneur. What are some of the changes that you need to make if you're going from a hobby to an entrepreneur? And do you actually exhibit the signs of one when you really should be exhibiting the signs of another? We're covering that all in today's episode, so we'll hope to see you on the inside. If you are a female entrepreneur who is serious about starting, growing, or scaling your business, but you are really finding it challenging to make the money that you want to make, or you're finding that the resources, maybe even the technology, and even some of the gurus are really just more expensive and cost more than you really want to spend right now, but you know that if you had the resources that you needed, you can really thrive in your business. If that's for you, then this podcast is for you. My name is Dr. T, and I am proud to be one of the co-founders of CCOClub.com and CCO Club Podcast, where we are building a space and a community to be able to serve you. But get this, we are much, much more than just a community. Our goal is to create an ecosystem where we have our own engagement, we create our own technology platforms, we are creating our own shared spaces, some TV channels, and even much, much more. And we want to be able to do that with the very women who want to connect with us, because what we know is that we can always be stronger together. So if that's you, make sure you hang out to learn much more about what we have going on, and we will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of this newly branded podcast called CCO Club. Remember that we are live and looking for insiders at CCOClub.com. And I'm telling you guys, we're going some places. I'm so excited. We are doing things so fast. We're still trying to get the podcast actually on the website. So that's coming soon. Within the next couple of days at the time of this recording. But we're moving fast. We have events that are coming up. We have some more women that are going to be joining us. We just have a lot of things that are going on. And today I wanted to be able to bring in, as I said to you guys the day before, or the podcast before this one, was I was going to bring on one of the co-founders, another one of the co-founders. It is Maikia Johnson. She's here with me today. And what we are talking about today is this idea of entrepreneurs versus hobbypreneurs. This came about from a discussion that Maikia and I were having one day. And we decided that, this going to be a good topic for us to broach. So Maikia, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Got Kia in the streets, in this house. So I've already, on the previous episode, told people a little bit about this rebranding. And for those of you who you may not have listened to the last podcast, I talked about, one of the things I wanted my followers to understand was that I said, what's the difference, between being She Launches It and going over to CCO? One was the main difference I said is they're not going to be a difference for me, because I'm still going to be the same woman of God that I am. And I said that all of the founders are women of God, but we are making it broader. Right. And so that we are including more women, because that's what we want to do with CCO. So, Kia, before we get into this conversation that we're having today about entrepreneurs versus hobbypreneurs, talk to the people about how excited you are about finally launching CCO and what this means for you.
Oh, man. Like, CCO Club journey, just launching it, thinking of all the things entrepreneurs really need to be successful. It's not as 1, 2, 3 as most think, right? You can set it up. Some businesses are much easier to set up, micro businesses especially, but for the most part, they're all hard to grow.
Right.
And you can't do it by yourself. Like, I remember when I first started by myself as a solopreneur, I quickly realized I'm terrible at admin stuff. That's just not my thing. I'm introverted by nature. So, I can walk and solicit into different companies, but kind of owning a room and being able to close themselves, it just wasn't me. So partnering at, well, actually first joining the community and partnering with the women that I was able to partner with in the community and eventually meeting you as well, it just made a load of a difference. I know me connected with you because I come from a tech space, right? I had all this complicated jargon and you know, I was simplifying it over time. But as me and you worked together, it got better and better because you were like one of the first people who could translate what I was saying. So the big deal here, everybody, if you don't get anything else, is that being connected allows you not only to learn more, it allows you to evolve as an entrepreneur. You start to develop new skills. You start to see things differently. You start to catch on to actual entrepreneur business terms, things you never understood, as well as learn new skills and expand and grow. Like, there's so many people to help you, but more importantly, in a lot of cases, is partnerships. You know, people able to fund you, people able to support you, people are buying from you in those communities because they begin to know, like, and trust you.
Right,
that's my excitement, that we are now able to bring that to an array of women. You know, it's not going to be such a learning curve as it was for us. And we're just making it simpler for everyone.
Yes. And I love what you're talking about. You guys, throughout this time with us on the podcast, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell you about the ugly, because the ugly is real. The ugly is real, more real than the social media fake, right? You know, but Kia, I want to challenge something that you said. You can't do it alone. I want to challenge that, because I think that there are a lot of women out there who can do it on their own. In particular think that tends to be women who have money, more money, that they may have a bigger support system, right? A husband or a partner that can take care of the bills while you just grow. So I want to challenge that. Of course, I just argued my own challenge, but nevertheless, I'm giving you a chance.
You literally argued. I was just about to say, do they? Are they?
Right. So tell me about that. You speak more on that.
So I don't believe anyone does anything alone. It's impossible, right? I can see where you maybe think you're doing it alone. You know, it may feel like you're doing it alone, but you're hiring people. You know, if you have money, you're hiring people to do things. You did not do it yourself. You were able to fund it, right? Mm-hmm. That's one aspect. Family support, entrepreneurship, funding. Like, you can have the money, but a lot of times it comes down to, do you even know what to do?
Right.
I remember listening to another podcast where this lady, she became absolutely famous off of her hair care line. Mm-hmm. She had a friend in marketing who told her what to do.
Right.
Walked her through it. You know, so people think that the advice is not counted. I promise you, it is so many entrepreneurs who need advice. And they have to pay for it. They have nowhere to turn. And so sometimes you're downplaying the fact that someone can give you advice. Mm-hmm. So essentially you're not doing it alone. Alone means you thought of everything yourself. You figured out everything yourself. You put everything together yourself. You funded everything yourself. You sold it yourself. You fulfilled it yourself. That's what alone means.
Right. And even if... You know, there's some folks that are out there that are, even as the description that Kia gave, are doing it alone. What you're going to find out, it is hard, is because I remember all the time you'll say, you know, I only got two hands, right? I can't go no faster than I'm going. And the reality is like, you know, if you're working on your website, you still got to do the emails. And if you're working on your emails, you still got to do the social media. If you're working on your social media, you still got to do the ads. You're working on your ads. You still got to make the right connections. Like, there's always, always something that has to be done. And that's why as soon as many entrepreneurs get a little money, or they're like, I got to hire somebody to help me with this, because it's just daunting to try to do it alone. So I appreciate you giving some more clarity to that statement. It's not impossible, but I promise you guys this, that doing it with others is going to help you get where you want to go a lot faster. And that's one of the things that we're doing with CCOclub.com is we're trying to help people do it bigger, better, stronger, and faster. So Kia, let's dovetail into this entrepreneur versus hobbypreneur. Out of the two of us, you, the younger whippersnapper, have a much better memory than I do. And you are always telling me what I forgot. And we do this all day, every day. What was the discussion that we were having when I remember I said the word hobbypreneur? How did, do you remember what we were talking about?
Yes, I was complaining. I was complaining about just not connecting with the right entrepreneurs.
Right.
And I thought, and I was trying to divide the difference. And I said, you know, some of us are serious and some of us treat it like a hobby. And I kept saying it over and over and over again. And you said, oh my goodness, like a hobbypreneur. And I said, that's it.
Yeah,
like,
I remember now. Yep.
Yeah. They have no drive to like turn it into something, you know, more stable. And I was like, that is genius. I love that name. That's exactly what was describing what was going on in my head.
Yeah, we were because you were saying you were complaining because there's really a lot of frustration, that day-to-day stuff. I want to hear from you guys of some of the frustrations that you have. Again, you can go to the website that's in the notes. You can leave us a message there. But this notion you said about they're not, did you say they're not serious about it? Is that what you said, Kia? Because I want to make sure I'm hitting all of them.
Yeah. So when I'm saying serious, I just want to be clear. They may be passionate and dedicated to what that hobby is. You know, like I may be passionate about the arts and I paint all the time, but I'm not serious about turning it into a business.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So what do you think are some other characteristics of being a hobbypreneur? what do you think? What do you think are some of the other characteristics? And here's why. Okay, let me back up, Kia. Let me back up. The reason why we're talking about it is because there are a lot of people out there that are posing as entrepreneurs and they really hobbypreneurs, and that might set somebody free right there. Like you carry the lingo of an entrepreneur. You carry the shroud of an entrepreneur. You are calling yourself an entrepreneur. You got a, you know, you have a business name and you might have a bank account and you might have something, but there is really some distinct differences I think from entrepreneurs to hobbypreneurs, and I think hobbypreneurs make it bad for us that are really out here, that are really serious about that. And I don't believe, I think we were listening to something or talking about this the other day. I think we were listening to something. Everybody that has a business shouldn't be in business. Again, that might set somebody free. And there's nothing wrong with that because being an entrepreneur is hard to say the least. So what are some other characteristics of that you might be a hobbypreneur if?
Okay, that's a good question. You might be a hobbypreneur if, and I have to give a example, I would say.
Wait, answer the question first. You might be a hobbypreneur if.
If. And I have to give an example. I have to give an example. If you have product, right? You make products and you're not always scouting for additional vendors.
Okay.
Because there's no security in having a single vendor, right? So you're not trying to stabilize the business. You're working on a whim. And so at any given moment, which we saw a lot of this during the pandemic, if the vendor goes away, your business went away.
My God. Yes, it
was. And a lot of serious entrepreneurs already understands that I depend on this vendor. I probably need to look for another one. Remember the client we had coming through that was starting a hairline, mm-hmm. and he had found a really good vendor and to, you know, start his hairline. But he, what he said, I'm looking at 3 or 4 more vendors because he was serious.
Right. Right.
I don't need this to go anywhere. And if something happened to this one, I can lean on the next. But a hobbypreneur is happy and content with the relationship that they have with the single vendor, and they're not concerned in no shape or fashion of, oh, the probability and risk of just working with that single vendor.
Well, let me actually bless somebody with this. What she said is so important, even if you consider yourself a serious entrepreneur. And here's why. I remember several years ago, it's probably about 2 or 3 years ago at the time of this recording. And I remember I was doing some one-on-one coaching at that time. And I had at the time for this particular month, I had 3 different clients, and they were, you know, they're, I charge a lot. So they were paying and everything was going good. And when I tell you, I swear it was in a 2-week time span, all of them that had promised to be there, you know, cause I want people to stay a minimum of 3 months, they were gone. And my income went down to 0 very rapidly. And it took that to happen for me to understand that I can never put my income in the hands of just a very few, because anything, like you said, anything can happen. Somebody can shift, a business can go out of business. Someone can't fulfill an order on time for various reasons, right? Like, you have to be able to do that. And so there is a difference between maybe you didn't know that as an entrepreneur and also being able to say, you don't really care. So that could make you a hobbypreneur. So I'm going to take another one, Kia. You might be a hobbypreneur if you treat a business like a hobby, and that can lead to some financial losses. So you are, the financial cost is not really what you are weighing, right? You can go into it and let's be clear, hobbies are expensive, right? Hobbies are expensive. I would rather you be a hobbyist and do it just for yourself as opposed to be a hobbyist and trying to make money. Because I feel like that's probably should be mutually exclusive. Like, I'm a hobbyist with painting. I have, like right now, I have tons of paints. I have the painting tools I have. I have canvases. I can actually build my own frames. I have different types of mediums that, you know, to do all sorts of stuff like that. I sell every now and then, but it's not something that I do consistently. So I'm not a hobbypreneur now. It's just a hobby. It's an expensive hobby, but it's just a hobby. Because then I remember when people were suggesting to me, Kia, with my painting, that I should put it online. And I remember for a short while I did, but right before that, I remember it absolutely feeling like a bit, like it was like, now I got to do it, right? I remember having to pay, I had to go to, found this company where they had to go take digital pictures, like high quality pictures of my paintings, because I was going to just resell them that way as well, right? Because they'll be a lot less expensive as opposed to buying the original. But then it was like, oh, you got to put for real money in this. And I think that's what, right? It's like, I was already spending money. Oh, but you said I got to spend for real money now. Okay, Dad, this might be something. When I tell you the website came down, I would rather just do this for me. So you don't always weigh the financial challenges that come with turning a hobby into a full-fledged business, because there is a different frame of mind that comes with that. So what are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, just to be honest, that leads me into the thought of demand, mm-hmm. right? Because like you said, the cost, right? A lot of times when you're in business, you are always trying to drive down costs because you're trying to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you're going to consider the demand,
right?
You're not going to invest in something that, let's say you did make that decision, right? And go get all the frames and all the stuff that you decided and kept the shop up. But if there's no demand for it, that's a loss too.
Right. Right.
So I'm gonna agree with that. Like, there's not a lot of financial planning or thought or strategy that goes behind that at all.
What do you think shifts when a hobbypreneur, let me rephrase. I'm talking about emotions. What do you think shifts emotionally from a hobbypreneur to become an entrepreneur?
That's a good question. And unfortunately, I'm not the one to be able to answer it. It's so unfortunate. I've never, so let me back up. There's the, you know, people that, you know, really teach about turning your passion into a business. Mm-hmm. And I get it. That's kind of that, I guess that would be the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I've always looked at what sells, what can I do and does it sell? You know,
right.
Or what allows me to generate income? So that's a whole different angle. And it already puts you into more of a hustle mode, and you're doing the things that an entrepreneur would do because you need to be successful at it.
I like so, that.
Unfortunately, I never really had the experience to shift from one to the other.
I like that, but that's very, very real, Kia, in saying that you had to, and you've always looked at entrepreneurship from the lens of an entrepreneurship because you had to look at it that way because you had to make money to sustain yourself, to sustain your family, right? As opposed to, I know you're an artist, and as opposed to saying, oh, let me see if I can sell my drawings and, oh, okay, you know, and like you said, it becomes about demand. So you're like, I gotta do what I can do quicker, or, you know, I know like you do websites, like I know people gonna need websites. So I got to stick over here because I know there is always going to be a demand for that. That's the perspective you're coming from, right?
Correct.
Right,
yep.
Right. So I think we talked about, what about productivity as it relates to a hobbypreneur and an entrepreneur? What do you think are some differences there?
To be honest, I think that I won't say a hobby is less productive. I know they probably say that, but I'm going to say for an entrepreneur to develop a product and service or service, and a hobbyist to do what they do, if the hobbyist is very much so in it, the productivity levels can still be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do with it is different. You
right.
know, I don't have a measure for that. And I wouldn't measure that because I've seen some real extreme hobbyists. And I'm like, you should turn that into a business because they're so dedicated.
Right,
they probably
right.
do it better than, you know, entrepreneurs who do it for a living. But they just, you know, they enjoy doing what they do.
And I think that that's a good point, right? It doesn't always show a clear distinction or a clear line, right? Because like you said, you could have some hobbyists that are so dedicated that they could in fact shift it to making money. But because sometimes I think that the money aspect from a hobbyist trying to make money can shift the love of it, right? It can shift because then if there is a demand there, right? And you don't necessarily want to charge, you know, top dollar prices for something. It just gets murky. And many hobbyists, artists, whatever we want to call, we're gonna call them hobbyists. They don't want to deal with that business side. They just want to have a hobby and to do what they want to do, to make the money that they want to, do the hobby, excuse me, that they want to do and leave it at that. So I think that sometimes that can also be the case. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't have any qualms against actual hobbyists that, you know, sell their products and services, you know, as a hobby. You know, that's just something they like to do on the side. And I totally agree with it.
Right.
It's to me, I think, just to kind of wind back to the top of the conversation a little bit, to remind everybody what we're saying, is just we're saying that when you think you're an entrepreneur, but you're really operating like a hobbyist, is where it kicks in. a hobbyist knows they're a hobbyist.
Right.
They know it's just a hobby. They will tell you, no, I do it for the joy of it. Yeah, some people will pay me for it, you know, but I'll do it because I love it. And that hard stop. They're not in the entrepreneur rooms. They're not in those spaces. You know, they're in their hobby groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with that. They really just genuinely love to do what they do.
And I think that what you just said was very important. Very, very important. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Because you just do what you do, you love what you love, it makes you feel good, you know, it's your self-care, all of those types of things. When you step into this entrepreneurial realm, just know that it's different. For number one, you might cry. Number two, right? There's emotional things that come in. There's frustrations that come in. And we're not even trying to scare you away from delving into this entrepreneurial realm. But we do want you to know that there are differences, right? We didn't even speak to entrepreneurs. What makes entrepreneurs different directly. So Kia, before we get off, throw me some things out that you say you're an entrepreneur if.
Well, I did definitely cover one. You're focused on building a business. Okay. You're an entrepreneur if strategy is important to you. You're an entrepreneur if you understand that sales is what keeps you being an entrepreneur.
Talk deals, about it.
Contracts, and your mind is there, you know, and that is huge because I've never really met an entrepreneur who doesn't think that way.
Right, right. And you're an entrepreneur, I think sales is something that, well, if you are an entrepreneur and you haven't made a sale, I don't want to say you're not an entrepreneur yet, but you're aspiring to be because you got to sell, right? Are you doing it for a side hustle? Maybe we should have said entrepreneurs versus hyperpreneurs versus a side hustle, right? Are you doing it for a side hustle to just, add to your income, or are you trying to make this thing your lifestyle? And the goal of this conversation was not to try to give you an exhaustive list for all of you guys that are out there of one or the other, but we are definitely talking about the fact that some of us may need to take what we're doing and turn it back into a hobby as opposed to just calling it an entrepreneur, because we don't want to do the things that are necessary to make entrepreneurship work. Maybe that was too harsh, Kia. I don't know. I'm telling entrepreneurs that are out there, you might want to go on ahead and just call it a hobby. Is that too harsh?
It is not harsh, but so there's light at the end of that tunnel. And there is a lot of different things. So entrepreneurship to me is a never-ending learning journey. You're going to, not everybody, some people, you know, hop out with a well good idea and product the first time around, right? Some people are going to try to hop on the market with what they think may work. You kind of got to go through it.
Right.
And once you go through it, and if you're going through it, let's be clear, from an entrepreneur perspective, you will learn the lesson and you will see like, hey, this doesn't sell. And you're going to go back to the drawing board.
You should.
And you're going to say, what does sell? You know, you're going to eventually get to that stage of saying, how do I get this product or service to move?
You know what? I want to bless some people. What Kia said in that statement was a mouthful. That's some of the stuff that we're going to be doing on our platform, with our events, with our groups, because it is sometimes challenging to know when to stay the course, when to walk away. Sometimes it takes more courage to walk away than to stay the course. Sometimes you might think that you have a great idea or a God idea. I definitely, if you feel like you have a God idea, I'm not going to challenge what you heard from the Father, but we want to help you to see that there are some things that may need to be shifted because of the market and the demand, as she said earlier. Right. And so our goal, one of our goals is to help people not have to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to get answers and have conversations with people that know something that can literally, one conversation can shift your stratosphere and help you get into the right direction. So that's a little bit, again, me throwing a selfless plug in for what it is we're doing over at CCO Club, because our goal is that we all win. Kia, on this topic of entrepreneur versus hobbypreneur, I'm going to give you the last word and then I'm going to wrap up the call.
Okay, well, my last word, and I guess where all of this stemmed from, is that as an entrepreneur, or if you're not aware you're a hobbypreneur, I'm going to throw it out there, please, you know, try to self-identify. As an entrepreneur, it was frustrating for me to try to work with hobbypreneur mindsets. Mm-hmm. It's a very frustrating thing. And it's because what I used to do, I try to partner with someone that's a hobbypreneur. I try to, you know, exchange and barter and do things with a hobbypreneur. You can't depend on it. It's not reliable. And that we have to be careful of as entrepreneurs, that we're dealing with other entrepreneurs, because there's a level of seriousness that continues. Now, things can still happen with other entrepreneurs because we're all out here taking risks. But let's say, for example, you're an entrepreneur vendor and not a hobbypreneur vendor. If you're an entrepreneur vendor, I can depend on you a little bit more than I can a hobbypreneur. I can exchange advice from you a little bit more than I can a hobbypreneur, because our goals are aligned. We're both out here to make money. We're both out here to move product. We both out here to move services. So my last word is just be mindful of those mindsets before you try to enter into partnerships, before you try to, you know, turn a hobbypreneur into a whole entire venture, you know, where you're depending on them and reliability, even taking advice. Because a lackadaisical idea that, hey, you don't have to do all of those things, I've been there. They will say, oh, you don't have to do it like that. But they're coming from a hobby perspective. So just be careful out here, entrepreneurs, that you are centering yourself around others who have the same level of ambition, same goals in mind, and can kind of share those same experiences so you guys can truly grow from one another.
As they like to say in church, that's the benediction. That was from Sister Maikia Johnson, giving us a good word. Glad to have her on this particular episode. She's going to come on from time to time. She's going to lead herself from time to time. We are still at this point going to stay on the same thing we were doing when she launches it. We're going to stay on the same amount of time, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Right now, we are encouraging you guys, go to the website, ccoclub.com, so that you can see what it is we're doing, what it is that we have in store, because I'm telling you, the insiders that come hang out with us, they're going to be sitting on top of the world. I am praying that this podcast was a blessing to you, and that there was something that was said to help to shape or reshape your thinking, to know if you are serious about being an entrepreneur or if you just want to keep it as a hobby. Because as we said, there is nothing wrong with either of them. We hope that that God will continue to bless you in your business. And with that, we are going to end this one, and we will see you on the next episode. Hey there, before you take off, we would really appreciate it if you clicked on that follow button, even download this episode, share it if it was something that you know would be meaningful for another friend, because that is really what's going to help this podcast grow so that we can continue to give you fantastic content. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you following.